Blog Talk Radio.
Church, we are the church together. Amen. And we are in the middle of May. Hallelujah. The 15th of May 2022. Glory to God. We thank God that he saw fit to keep us in the land of the living even now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Pastor Mom, who's sitting here all pretty and excited. Amen. It's going to open us up in a word of prayer. Amen.
Amen.
Greet everybody, Pastor Mom. Hi, everybody.
Hi, everybody. And yes, and give us a gate today.
Amen.
We do this today.
Thank you, Lord. Our Father.
Our Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our
trespasses.
As we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and power and the glory forever. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And we'll say our prayer together here. Lord, thank you for being with us and standing by us and holding us in the hollow of thine own hand. Bless our president and give him wisdom, knowledge, and a good understanding. Bless all the people of the United States. Lead us and guide us. Bless this service. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Let's go to our scripture today. And let's read Psalm 95 in the King James Version, Psalm 95, verses 1 through 6. Psalm 95, verses 1 through 6. Hallelujah. Let's read together. Psalm 95, verse 1 through 6. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. and make a joyful noise unto him with song. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Amen, amen, hallelujah. He is the Lord our Maker. He's all that and more, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let's go to Psalm 34, verses 1 through 3. Psalm 34, verses 1 through 3. Let's read. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love that part. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. He's worthy, I tell you. Hallelujah. He is worthy of all the glory, the honor, and the praise. Amen. Amen. And so, you know, the Lord has given us a charge. Hallelujah. A challenge to find out more about him, his name, his character, and his nature. And the more we find out about him, the more we know about ourselves. Hallelujah. And so this month, he's given me different characters and characteristics and attributes and his name every month, I think for the next year. And so we're putting this in a Pearls to Ponder. And this month, our Pearls to Ponder is that the Lord is our holy soulmate. Amen. And so in the beginning of the month, the scripture that we had was Isaiah 38:17. Indeed, it was for my own peace that I had great bitterness, but have lovingly delivered my soul from the pit of corruption. You have cast all my sins behind your back. That was Isaiah 38:17. And then we also read Psalm 23:3. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Now, last week was Mother's Day, and I hope y'all had a wonderful Mother's Day. We did. Amen. And the scripture was Psalm 63, verses 7 through 9. For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings, where I'm always protected, I sing for joy. For my soul, my life, my very self clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. Hallelujah. That was Psalm 63:7-9. Amen. This week, we're coming from and learning more about him and our soul. Hallelujah. What he does in our soul, because he is our holy soulmate. Psalm 62. This is from the NIV. Psalm 62, verses 1 and verses 5. Truly, my soul finds rest in God, my Savior. My salvation comes from him. And Psalm 62 and verse 5 says, yes, my soul find rest in God. My hope comes from him. Psalm 116 and verse 7 says, return to your rest, my soul. For the Lord has been good to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's been good to us. And then here's another scripture, Matthew 11:28-30. This is Jesus talking. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. My yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And we have a song, the song, well, I call a song, it may have another name, but I was calling it My Soul Finds Rest in God Alone. And this is by Paul Wilbur, just a little snippet from it. Praise God. Hallelujah. My soul finds rest in God alone. Hallelujah. He comforts us. Hallelujah. He is our holy soulmate. And only he can give us true comfort in our souls. And only in him can we find true rest in our souls. Yes, he is our holy soulmate. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And that's our Get 'Em Radio's Pearls to Ponder as we ponder on the Lord. Amen. Let's go to our declarations. Hallelujah. Amen. Job 22:28 says, thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways. Job 22:28. And it said, and Isaiah 40:8 says, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Hallelujah. So as we continue to declare and decree, so many things are going on. Hallelujah. Things that we'll see and know about, and things that we won't even know until we get to heaven. And when the books are open, we go, oh, my gosh, that declaration I made caused me not to go into X, Y, and Z. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. So let's say our declarations together. Amen. Repeat after me. No weapon
formed against me
shall prosper.
This is the heritage
of the Lord. Whatever I do will prosper.
For I am like
a tree
that's planted
by the streams
of water.
Amen. That's from Isaiah 54:17 and Psalm 1:3. And by the Spirit of the Lord, I don't know if it's all of y'all, but I hear somebody fully engaged, hallelujah, and saying these declarations. Praise God. Hallelujah. God hears you, And he knows that you are fully engaged. Just because nobody else can hear you, you're the only person in the room, still God hears you. Amen. So we thank God that you are fully engaged in these declarations. Amen. So repeat after me.
Christ
has redeemed
me
from the curse
of the law.
Therefore,
I forbid
any sickness
or
disease
to come
upon my body.
Every disease,
germ,
allergy,
allergic reaction,
and every virus
that touches my body
dies instantly
in the name of Jesus. Every organ
and
every tissue of my body functions
in
the perfection
that God
created
it
to function.
I forbid
any malfunction
in
my body
in
the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And that came from Galatians 3:13, Romans 8:11, Genesis 1:31, and Matthew 16:19. Amen. And repeat after me. The Spirit of Truth,
comes
to me.
Teaches me.
All things.
And
He guides me. Into all truth.
Therefore,
I confess. I have perfect knowledge.
Of
every situation
and
every circumstance
that
I come up against.
For
I ask
for the
wisdom
of God.
Amen. And that comes from John 16:13 and James 1:5. And I want to say something about that scripture right there. You know, God will give us perfect knowledge in every situation, and nothing is too small for Him. Amen. And I had a little desire in my heart, and the desire was, well, I'm wearing a certain kind of thing now by His Spirit. And so I wanted a little shrug in this particular fabric. You know, I wanted it really right then, and I couldn't figure out how I could get it. And this thing is just so small, you know. And suddenly the Lord began to tell me how to make a shrug without sewing. And I was like, whoa. And I really didn't know all that He was doing, but He told me to take a blouse that was long sleeve blouse, and He showed me how to cut it just right so that I could make myself a shrug, because it was a desire on my heart. And I was just amazed at that. You know, if He can do something like that, he's doing it in every, He'll give us the perfect knowledge in every situation and every circumstance. He'll give us that wisdom to be able to do that. And while I was, after I finished making the shrug or cutting it out, and it looked really nice, and I thought about my grandmother, that she was a woman of God. We call her Lama for Little Mama. And she, this is many, many years ago, before people started putting designs on sweatshirts, and, you know, sweatshirts and sweatpants were just, you know, like a gray color. She began to sew designs on it and to make it look more feminine. And, you know, and because she wanted it on, because she was kind of cold a lot. And so she wanted to wear that, but she wanted to look nice. So, I mean, God will see even the desires of our heart, and cause us or help us to and give us wisdom to do small things and to do great things. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So continue to declare and decree. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's go in and have some praise and worship this morning and just thank him. He is such an awesome God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your awesomeness. We bless you, Lord. Amen. He can move mountains.
Somebody lift your hand as we celebrate the greatness of our God. He's great and he's greatly to be praised. Song that says this, our God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. Come on, our God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken. His strength where I've been weakened. Forever he'll reign. Come on, say, my God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He can move mountains.
He can move mountains.
Keep me in the valley.
Keep me in the valley.
Hide me from the rain.
Hide me from the rain.
My God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He heals me when I'm broken.
Heals me when I'm broken.
Strength where I've been weak.
Strength where I've been weak.
Forever he'll reign. Come on, if you believe it, lift your voice and say,
my God is awesome.
Come on, if you know he's awesome, say,
awesome.
Come on and lift your voice.
Awesome.
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 My God.
My God is awesome.
Come on and testify. Awesome.
Awesome.
If you believe it, say,
awesome.
Come on and say it. Think about it. Savior of the whole world.
Savior of the whole world.
Giver of salvation.
By his stripes,
I'm healed. My God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
Today I am forgiven.
Today I am forgiven.
His grace is why I'm living.
Grace is why I'm living.
Somebody ought to praise his holy name.
Holy.
Come on and testify if you know he's awesome. Say it. Come on and lift your voice and say, come on,
Hallelujah. Our God is awesome. Hallelujah. He is awesome. That's who he is, and that's his attribute. He is just awesome. That's his character and his nature. He's just awesome. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go on to our prayer for finances. Amen. I'm just so blessed by the people who have such great testimony of what God is doing in their finances. Hallelujah. Amen. God can do great and awesome things in our finances. Hallelujah. And then he can help you find a quarter when you get to the Aldi to put in the little basket or either have somebody give it to you. Great and small, great and small. That's what's on my heart today. And what God wants us to know is that what he does, he can do it in great, big, awesome things, or he can do it in teeny, tiny, awesome things just at the right time. Amen. Hallelujah. And nothing is too difficult. Nothing is too hard, or nothing is impossible for him. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I think we'll go to our prayer in just a moment. I was thinking of a friend of mine. She blessed this older lady, and this was in New Jersey at the church where we went to, and she just really, the Lord gave her a heart for this lady, and she would take the lady home because the lady just, even though she was older, she wanted to make sure she came to all the church services, and sometimes her family wouldn't take her home, or, you know, they had other things to do, so she would volunteer to take her home. And so the lady said to her, the lady was trying to give her some money, give my friend money, and my friend said, no, don't give me any money. And so the lady said, You better look for your blessing, because God's going to bless you for what you've done. You better look for your blessing. And I was delighted at how this mother said that to my friend. And the Lord gave me a little song. Want to hear it? Here it go. You better look for your blessing. Hallelujah. Look for your blessing, because God's going to bless you. You sown good seed. Now God's going to meet your need. So you better look for your blessing. Hallelujah. Anyway, now I haven't thought about that in a long time. So we thank God for that. And maybe the whole song will come to me later. Amen. But let's say our prayer over finances. Hallelujah. Repeat after me. Lord,
commit
my finances to you. Be in charge of them.
Be in charge of them.
And use them.
For your purpose.
I pray that I will learn. To live free. Of burdensome debt. Where I've not been wise. Bring restoration. And give me guidance.
Help me.
To remember. That all I have.
Belongs to you.
May I always. Be paid well.
For the work I do.
And may my money not be stolen, lost,
devoured,
destroyed,
or wasted.
Multiply it.
So what I have and what I make
will go a long way.
I pray
that I will not
be
anxious
be anxious
about finances.
About finances.
But we'll seek.
But we'll seek
your kingdom first.
Your kingdom first.
Knowing that as I do.
Knowing what I do.
I will have all I need.
I will have all I need.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. As I was reading that, and the Lord just laid on my heart that part about not being anxious about finances. Those of us who have invested in Bitcoin, amen, we pray over each and every one of us that we will not be anxious over finances. The Lord gave me a word a while back about Bitcoin. He said it's going to slingshot. So it's going to go way down, and then it's going to go way up. Hallelujah. And the Lord has a way of giving us or telling us what's happening before it happens when he's in it. Now, some people he's told, do not buy no Bitcoin at all. You better not buy any. Amen. But those of us that he has said to do it, we can't be anxious about it. And we just have to believe that God is going to bless through that, even though right now it don't look like it. Amen. Amen. God, he's an awesome God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. So if giving to East St. Louis Christian Center Church, you have three ways to give. One is via Cash App, and our Cash App is $ESLCCC. That stands for East St. Louis Christian Center Church. You can, if you're in the Heritage House, you can still give at the door, 2E, and many of you have been doing that. We praise God. You can also send it in the mail and make the check payable to ESLCCC, 2800 Olive Street, number 2E, St. Louis, Missouri, 63103. Amen. Amen. And so let's pray. Hallelujah. For those who have already sent their tithes and offerings, I saw it this morning via Cash App. Hallelujah. Those who have given already, we're going to pray for you. Those who are fixing to get ready to send something right now, we're going to pray over you as well. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the tithers, those who are giving 10% out of everything that you put in our hands, in the name of Jesus, even the Mother's Day money. We're giving 10% of that as well. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, we bake on our job, whatever comes into our hands, we give you 10% of it, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for those who are tithing. Your word says that try you on this, test you on this, and that you would open up the windows of heaven and pour us out blessings that would be too much for us to receive. And also you said that you would rebuke the devourer for our sake, so that when we get the money, hallelujah, that there'll be no holes in our pockets, that the money will not be lost, stolen, devoured, or wasted. But it will give you glory in the name of Jesus, and we will be blessed as well. And Lord God, we also thank you for those who are givers. You said, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give unto your bosoms. Hallelujah. It's very interesting to note that the tithers get the protection as they do it. Hallelujah. That's just an interesting thing to think about. Hallelujah. And we give God all the praise and the glory. We always stand on Deuteronomy 1:10-11, where he says he'll make us a thousandfold more than we are right now and bless us as he has promised us. And we give God all the praise and glory for that. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord God, We thank you that you are doing exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask, think, and even imagine. And as we give, you will bless us in money and things that money cannot begin to touch. We thank you, Lord God, for the blessings as we give today that will cancel debt. Hallelujah. Debt that seems to be big as mountains, but you know how to even cancel debt. Hallelujah. We may not see the money in our hands, but the debt will be canceled out completely in the name of Jesus. And so we thank you for that, Lord God. And we give you glory, honor, and praise. And we all say amen and amen. Hallelujah. I just hear somebody needs a great big debt canceled. Amen. Amen. And the word of the Lord is, it is so. It is so. It is so. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've seen another friend of mine. I believe they have canceled about $80,000 of debt off of her mortgage. Hallelujah. Amen. God can do it. This is still a wealth transfer time. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, before we go any further, we have some birthdays. Hallelujah. I don't know that any of the birthday people are here. Yeah, maybe so. Amen. Yes. So there are several birthdays. Miss Crockett, who lives here at the Heritage House. There is Marcus. Yay! Hallelujah, who's celebrating his birthday on the 18th of this month. And then there's Sister Kathy and Miss Cleora, and they're celebrating their birthdays on the 19th. Amen. So we want to play our birthday song. For all of the birthdays, we want to wish you all a wonderful, blessed birthday. Hallelujah. And just we just believe by the Spirit of God that he's going to do great and awesome things in this year of your life. In the range of ages that we have there, I believe Marcus is turning 15. And Miss Cleora, I believe she's turning 93 this year. Praise God. So happy birthday to all of you. Hallelujah. Happy birthday. This is the day. Your birthday is the day that the Lord made. Amen. And we're rejoicing with you and being glad with you on your birthday. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. We thank God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And once again, we just thank God that people are still in the land of the living. So many are not here, but he chose to have us to still be here in the land of the living. And so we thank God for that. Amen. Amen. As we get ready to go into our word for today, we're gonna have another song here. Amen. Hallelujah. The word today is we're still on sanctification. Hallelujah. And this is going to be, as far as I know, the last part of sanctification. And then the next time we'll go into glorification. And so in this last part of sanctification, I'm going to give you examples of sanctification in my life in the form of a testimony. So let's hear this song before we start. Hallelujah. I got a testimony. I got a testimony. And I know you do too. Amen. We've been with the Lord. We got a testimony, an overcoming testimony by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Hallelujah. Let's go into prayer. Lord, we thank you, Lord God. We thank you for what you're doing. Hallelujah, what you have done and what you will do, Lord God. And we thank you that you are the way, the truth, and the life. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, that we can lean and rely upon you. We can trust in you with all our heart, leaning not to our own understanding, acknowledging you in all our ways as you direct our path. And so we thank you, Lord God. We bless you. We lift up everyone who is here today, and we thank you as this word goes forth that you meet each and every one of us at the very point of our need. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord God, that the words that will be said today will hit targets in our hearts. Hallelujah. And open up, hallelujah, doors by your spirit to show us more about you, Lord God. We thank you for the confirmations that will happen today in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, for those who will hear this word today, hallelujah, and be able to have a direction from you, Lord God, as they will, this will just open more in them to follow you in a greater way in the name of Jesus. And we bless you, Lord God. We just say, have your way. Move by your spirit. We want you not only to get the glory, but to get the maximum glory out of all that is said and done today. In Jesus' mighty and holy name, amen and amen. Man, hallelujah, hallelujah. So we want to start off giving you a review because some of you may not have been with us, and also because this word, we're on the sixth part of it. We started a while back, and the Lord said, just take your time. And so that's what I've been doing. I've been having a good time. I hope you all have been too. And there are other things that happen in between the time that I speak. I've been speaking on this every third and fourth Sunday of the month. So other things, other words have come forth. So you can always go back into our archives. Just Google Gitim Radio, GITM Radio, and put salvation or put justification on it, you know, something like that, and you will find this entire series. I just keep imagining in my sanctified soul, in my spirit, that at some point in time, it may not be right now, but at some point in time, this is going to be someone's treasure. They're going to feel like they found a gold mine when they listen to this series. Amen. And because God's going to touch them in a great way. Maybe that's you. Hallelujah. Maybe that's for the future. But it is here and it shall be recorded. Amen. So what we're talking about are the three stages of salvation. Justification, sanctification, and glorification. We said that justification is an act of God whereby he pronounces a sinner to be righteous because of that sinner's faith in Christ. And so during that time of justification, we are delivered from the penalty of sin. There's a penalty of sin. We went over the scriptures for that, and we won't do that today, but we went over it, and everyone has the penalty of sin, but once you are saved, we are delivered. Once we're saved, we are delivered from the penalty of sin, and justification is just as if you have never sinned, just as if you or I has never sinned. When God looks at us, he sees his sinless son, Jesus. And then we talked about, part of the three stages of salvation is sanctification. Sanctification is the deliverance from the power of sin and is a present and continuous process of believers becoming Christ-like. And we'll talk some more about that today because we're doing a review on that in a little bit more detail on sanctification. And this is accomplished by the Holy Spirit's power and presence. So sanctification is deliverance from the power of sin here and now, and it's continuous. Hallelujah. And it's a deliverance from the flesh, the world, and the devil. Amen. And we're going into detail over that. We're at the last part of going into detail. And then the last part is glorification. So hopefully next week, if we make it through today, we're not in a hurry, we'll go into glorification. And glorification is deliverance from the presence of sin. Glorification happens when we leave here, when we are absent from the body and present with the Lord, then we go into glorification, and that is the deliverance from the presence of sin. Hallelujah. We won't be in the presence of sin, where the world, the flesh, and the devil, we won't be in that presence. We'll be present with the Lord. Hallelujah. We'll be present with the Lord. Hallelujah. And absent from this body. Now, I want to give you a review as well on sanctification. We talked about sanctification for quite a while, and the reason why we wanted to spend so much time on sanctification, because sanctification is our spiritual dash. It's our spiritual dash. And the reason why I say that is that, you know, when a person is born and they die, you see the date that they were born, you see a dash, and then you see the date that they died. In the spirit, if we were looking at our spiritual time here, our spiritual obituary, it would say, Cation, dash, glorification. And that dash is sanctification. So it's the process of time that we're here on this earth after we've been justified. We go into sanctification, and then we go into glorification. So sanctification is a lifelong process. Sanctification trains and transforms us during that time, during our life here on earth. And, you know, and some may say, well, do I have to go through that? Well, you don't have to. It is a choice to go into sanctification with the Lord. There are ramifications of that choice. There are, you know, I believe in the sanctification process that we accumulate those crowns that the Bible talks about, and that's a whole beautiful subject to go into one day. My brother, Pastor Mark, preached that really good, the crowns of heaven. Amen. So at any rate, and I'm just going to tell you some of it. I'm sure that there's much more to it. In our sanctification process, we learn about our identity. And that's when we choose to be closer to the Lord. We learn about our identity, who we are in Christ Jesus. And that is so important, our identity. And because we are in the world but not of the world, we find that we live in different realities, and we reviewed some of those realities. And I'm calling it the Bible-based reality. And that's when the Word of God becomes your reality. Your for real reality in your life, in our life, is based on the Bible. And then we went over, and you can go back in our podcast, our archives, and you'll get more details on what I'm talking about right now. We talked about the Bible absolute reality, and that we live in that reality as well, where the Lord has said some absolutes in the Bible: always, never, nothing, all, everything, best, and even worse. Amen. So these are the absolutes, and we live in the reality of God's absolutes, what he says about us. Example, I will never leave you nor forsake you. We live in that reality. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All things work together for good. Amen. We live in that reality of absolutes. We also live as in our sanctification time, we live in the reality of being spirit-led, the spirit-led reality. That hearing from the Lord and following the Lord and being led by the Spirit is a reality for us. It's not something strange, weird, or freaky. It's our for real reality. We also live in the walking by faith and not by sight reality. That's very different. And when you think about it, you know, many times the world wants to see it before they can believe it. But we walk by faith and not by sight. Hallelujah. And then the last reality we talked about last time was the co-laboring with God reality, that what we do in our lives, we know we are very assured that we are walking with God. Hallelujah, in this reality. And we are co-laboring with him. We're not just doing things because it's just a cool thing to do, or this is what the world is doing, this is what people are doing around and about us, all of that. No, co-laboring with the Lord. Hallelujah. And so today, you know, by the Spirit of the Lord, he was just leading me to talk about my sanctification experiences. Some of the things that happened to me, you know, we don't have the time for me to tell it all, but to talk about some of those experiences. And in my prayer, what I was praying today is that I pray that you find yourself somewhere in here, you know, something that God has had you to do. And if you do find yourself here, please be prepared to talk about it after we finish. Hopefully we're going to have some time for you to be able to share, because that's going to be important for those who are on the line and those who will listen in the future. So if you find yourself here, if you find yourself wanting to be in some of the places that the Lord has had me in, some of the testimonies, let us know about that as well. Or if you know somebody that you've seen things that I'm going to talk about now, please, you know, be prepared and let us know about it. Once again, I just believe that this archive is going to be for somebody or some people in the future, and this is going to be their gold mine. They're going to find what's going to bless them and keep them going. Hallelujah. It may be after the rapture. Glory to God. Okay, so today I'm going to talk about some of my sanctification experiences. Some of you know that, well, I was saved in 1971. But it wasn't until 20 years later, in 1991, after being baptized in the Holy Ghost, that I began to walk closely with the Lord. And I could have been, and I'm sure I was in a sanctification process, but I was on the fringes of it, you know. And at this point now, or from that point in 1991, I believe that by his Spirit, I dove in to the sanctification experience. And all of these realities and knowing my identity and the Bible reality and all of that jumped all into that. So one of the first things that I remembered being with the Lord was getting my heart clean, just getting it cleaned out. And he reminded me, because I began to hear his voice very clearly. And at first he wasn't talking to me about great devastating things, you know, earth-shattering things. We didn't talk about things like that. We talked about should I have Rice Krispies or Sugar Pops for breakfast? You know, we talked about should I, when I drove to work, should I go this way or should I go that way? So he began to teach me how to hear his voice and follow his voice. And when I followed his voice, then I would be at certain places at the right time for his glory. And so, like I said, it wasn't any big thing. It started with little things, a little thing, a little thing, and a little thing. And one of the things that I really remember as I'm going into cleansing my heart, before I get there, just hearing his voice, one of the most dramatic moments for me was my daughter and I had gone to have pizza after I picked her up from school. And when we got in the car, we're eating pizza in the car, and it was a torrential rain. It was raining so hard you couldn't even see any distance. And as it continued to rain that hard, so it was still raining, could hardly see. I backed the car up out of the parking spot. By the time I straightened up the car to go forward, the rain completely stopped. And at that moment, I knew that I was hearing from the Lord very clearly, very precisely, because there's no way that I would have even thought that it would stop raining when I, you know, pull a car out of that parking spot. So these are the kind of experiences, you know, even teeny tiny small experiences like that, that we have from the Lord that help us to build our relationship with Him, because that's what we're doing during this sanctification process. Amen. Now, I'm going to stop right here because He's talking to me. Hallelujah. And He just reminded me that I was to play this before I got started on this part. I've been reading this book by John G. Lake, and it's his life, his sermons, his faith, his boldness, and it talks about that. And I read the book all the way through, and I'm on my second time reading it. And I read it. It's a very thick book. I don't know, probably like 900 pages. And I read it like a devotional, and God keeps speaking through me as I read this book. So like I said, on my second time through, I was on page 52, and He was describing sanctification in such an awesome way. So I want to read that for you.
Christianity is not a thing to be apologized for. Christianity is the living, conscious life and power of the living God, transmitted into the nature of man until man's nature is transformed by the living touch, and the very spirit, soul, and being is energized and filled by His life. Thus you become indeed, as Christ intended, a veritable Christ. That startles some people, but the ultimate of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the ultimate of the redemption of the Son of God is to reproduce and make every man bound by sin and held by sensuousness and enslaved by the flesh like Himself, indeed and in truth, sons of God. Not sons of God on a lower order, but sons of God as Jesus is. Paul declares, He gave some apostles, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. For what? Till we all come into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Ephesians 4:11-13. Not a limited life, but an unlimited life. The idea of Christ, the idea of God, was that every man, through Jesus Christ, through being joined to Him by the Holy Spirit, should be transformed into Christ's perfect image. Glory to God. Christ within and Christ without. Christ in your spirit. Christ in your soul. Christ in your body. Not only living His life, but performing His works by the grace of God. That is the gospel of the Son of God. That is the thing that Paul was not ashamed of. He said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Romans 1 and verse 16.
Hallelujah. And the thing that is just so cool about John G. Lake is that he wrote that over 100 years ago. I hear, when I read what he was talking about, it touches my heart, because he's saying this sanctification process is that we are to be really transformed into the very image of Christ here and now. And it is absolutely positively possible. Hallelujah. So on with my sanctification experience, the Lord began to clean my heart out. And he took me back in time and let me know that I had unforgiveness in my heart. Now, I'll tell you from my experience with the Lord, somebody else's may be different. He doesn't do it all at one time. Okay? I don't think we could take being cleaned out all at once. So there was a major event that happened in my life that caused me to have unforgiveness in my heart, and I had kind of stuffed it in the back, in the closet somewhere, and I had not thought about it in years. I went on with my life, but yet forgiveness was still there. And so he began to talk to me about it. He took me back in time to see, you know, things that have happened, how I felt about it. I felt like I felt bad about that. And he said, you know, it's important for you to clean this out of you. Otherwise, it's in your life. And you may not see it right there, but it has changed the fabric of your life. There's a thread. There's a dark, ugly, frayed thread that's going through the fabric of your life. And unless you forgive, it's going to be there, and it's not what we want in there. So, you know, he began to talk to me about forgiveness. Of course, it seemed like everything I heard had something about forgiveness in it, and everything I read in the Bible, it looked like it had something about forgiveness, because he really wanted me to forgive. And then what he said to me was, you know, that he forgave. When he was on the cross, he forgave. And that if I didn't know how to forgive, well, he said so much to me about forgiveness. Because, see, I felt like the person who did something to me should come to me and, you know, explain to me why they did that, ask for my forgiveness, and then maybe if I felt like they had done it good enough, I would forgive them. And he said, no, 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 it's not like that. And when he forgave on the cross, he was on the cross, okay? He was nailed on the cross when he forgave. He was in pain on the cross. Blood dripping on the cross, and he was forgiving us. Hallelujah. And so he just made that so very clear to me. And he said, you know, if they never beg your pardon, if they never explain anything to you, you still must forgive them. If they are dead, you still have to forgive them. Because unforgiveness, it's like a marriage. It's like a marriage. It's like we're married to whatever we're not forgiving. And, oh, man, it made it so very clear. And then I remember hearing Joyce Meyer. I don't know if she's still preaching that sermon, but she talked about forgiveness. And so she said in ancient times, there was people – if they killed somebody and they were caught, you know, and they were accused of killing someone, they would tie that dead body on that person's back. And that person had to walk around with the dead person's body decaying on their back. And then pretty soon they would be poisoned by the decay of the dead person, and they would die. That was such an illustration to me. I was ready to forgive everybody. Hallelujah. And so, and then the Lord said, now, you know, pray this prayer. And the prayer was, and you can pray it with me. I'll say it slow. You can pray it with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I love you.
I love you.
With all my heart.
With all my heart.
And I ask you,
ask you
to put your forgiveness
in
my heart.
In my heart.
And right now, I release out, love, and forgiveness, to everyone,
who
has hurt me, and everyone, who has done me wrong. I forgive them now. In Jesus' name.
I forgive them now.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, that's a nice little short prayer, but I'm telling you, it is absolutely powerful, you know, to forgive people. When you say it out of your mouth like that, well, I did that, and the next thing you know, the Lord is telling me to go to that person because they were not saved. And I proceeded to tell the Lord that that person, people said that that person could pray for people and the power of God would come down. And I proceeded to tell this person's spiritual resume, and the Lord, I was driving a car, and the Lord said in a thundering voice that went through every cell, organ, and tissue of my body, he said, if you don't go to them, pray with them to be saved, they're going to hell. It was like an echo it all throughout me. I had to pull the car to the side and cry. And I said, okay, God, I'm going. And make a beautiful story short, I did go to the person. It was a man. He did get saved. Hallelujah. And he died probably about 2 or 3 years after that. But the Lord said he's in heaven with us now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, you know, and he wasn't the only one. I mean, there was times that went on, and I still, you know, keep that. See, this is part of the sanctification process, part of us being transformed into the image of Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. And so, you know, I still pray that prayer of forgiveness when I see that something is trying to get into my heart of unforgiveness. Amen. And then the Lord began to talk with me about the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. And we know that scripture, may the words of my heart and the meditation, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Well, there were some things that I was meditating in my heart and thinking about that I should not be thinking about. I can recall that I would give myself permission to think any way I wanted to think for about 15 minutes. You know, I'm going to take about 15 minutes, and I'm just going to think about this. It's like, no, you can't do that. You know, those thoughts that are ungodly, they don't even need to be in your mind for a moment, a second, at any time, because they will try to accomplish themselves. So you can't even afford to do that kind of thing. And that was something to learn, because, you know, I figured, hey, it's in my head. You know, I'm not hurting nobody. I can think what I want to think. No, it doesn't work like that. And then even to read the scripture, you know, where it talks about, you know, if a person is even thinking about adultery, they've committed it. you know, in their mind. And I'm like, hey, that's kind of hard, you know, but it's not hard in the Lord. It's not hard, you know, when we turn our minds and our thoughts over to him, because our mind, our thoughts, things that we think are very, very important. Hallelujah. And even, you know, going back to my example early this morning, I was like, God, I want a shrug. I didn't even say God. I said, now, if I had a shrug, that would take care of some things. If I could put that on top of this dress I'm going to wear, if I could, yeah, just a little thought like that, and within 10 minutes I had one. So little things like that. And as he keeps putting in my heart today, it's those little things. Little things, little things. The Bible says line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. And it goes into great things, and it can do that to the glory of God or for evil. All right? What he had me to do is Joyce Meyer, once again, I think about Joyce Meyer, learned a lot through her. Praise God for her. She has a saying, think about what you're thinking about, because thoughts are important. Just don't let thoughts roll around in your head. That was part of my cleaning process and sanctification process. Not even curse words, because it got to the point where they were not coming out of my mouth anymore, but they was kind of hanging around in my head. And so that had to stop as well. One of the scriptures that he had me to stand on is, it's in Hebrews. I don't have it in front of me right now, but it's in Hebrews, and it says that the blood of Jesus, I want to say 9:14, that the blood of Jesus is able to purge our conscience from every dead work. Oh, man, that's been a scripture that I have. The blood of Jesus is able to purge our conscience from every dead work. So anything that's not going to give God glory that I would be thinking about has to be purged. And I still stand on that word. When different thoughts try to come in, I still stand on that word, and they stop in the name of Jesus. And there's something that the old seniors used to say, and they say, well, and I've heard this preached many times, you can't stop the birds from flying over your head, but you can stop them from making a nest. So, and I've seen what a bird's nest looks like up close and personal. A friend of mine had a balcony overlooked on the 18th floor overlooking the Hudson River. And some birds got on her balcony, and they made her whole balcony into a nest. That was a nasty, filthy thing. They were pooping there. They were having babies there. There was old feathers all over the place, you know. And you don't want the enemy. We don't want the enemy building that kind of nasty, filthy nest in our minds. Hallelujah. When we could just stop it. And so that was part of what he did. The Lord did and is still doing. I'm still in the process. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If somebody repeat this after me, thank God. Thank God for the sanctification. Hallelujah. And then say this, I'm still in the process. Hallelujah. We are still in the process. Amen. Amen. So, excuse me. So the Lord, he took me for a little while into a silent consecration to help the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. And so, and to make the words that I said be choice words, and not, and also, if I heard if somebody was talking to me, I was thinking about what I was going to say next. And so when he took me into a silent consecration, that really helped me not to feel like I had to get all the words together myself. And so it really helped me. So the silent consecration that he placed me on, he gave me a bunch of scriptures. There's a bunch of scriptures about watching your mouth and being quiet and stuff like that. And so he gave me, you know, those scriptures and what he said. I was still working at the time I went through this. He said, you know, when you talk to someone, they're talking to you, you listen. You can respond, but only limited responses. Don't add anything extra to it. Just, you know, be very concise and say it and then go on. And so I did that for quite a while, praise God, and it taught me to be a listener, too, and so that was a blessing, and not only to listen to people, but to listen to him more, and so that was a blessing. Then some other things that he taught me during the sanctification process, for those who just joined us. That's what we're talking about. I'm just talking about how the Lord worked with me with working with me during the sanctification process. One of the interesting things too was to clean my physical surroundings out and to get rid of ungodly pictures, ungodly books, ungodly videos. There was a time my husband and I, when we were first married, we were getting pornographic recordings. This was on when they were on reel-to-reels, and we had a reel-to-reel player and all that many years ago, over 40 years ago. And we had really, at that point in time, we had stopped looking at them, but they were packed up in a box in a closet. And that was just like we just had, you know, still had it. And the Lord said to me, get those out of here. And the interesting part was by that time we had had a child. And so it was in the back of my daughter's closet in her room. And he was like, get it out of here. Don't give it to anybody. Throw it out. So those are the things that he had me to do. And there are times that I've gone to people's homes, you know, over the years, and I've seen things. And I don't know. I'm trying to remember. There was a lady who had almost a life-size Buddha in her house and was wondering why she was going through stuff physically real bad. You know, she was a Christian, but she had this thing in there. And so you know, the Lord would have us to clean our physical surroundings and have godly things around us. I mean, now in the home where we are with Pastor Mom and I, we have scriptures on the wall. You know, you can walk through here and see scriptures. You know, in the bathroom, there's scriptures in the bathroom. In my bedroom, there's scriptures on the wall. You know, he wants our surroundings to be a place really where he can be, where he's invited into our surroundings. Okay, and then we talk about obedience. So the Lord was talking about being obedient, and we know the scripture, obedience is better than sacrifice. I have so many testimonies on obedience, but this was one of the biggies for me. I was on a plane. I had gotten on a plane. I was going to go see a friend of mine who had moved from New Jersey to, I want to say, Washington State. And I was in California. And so I was going to get on a plane, go to Washington State, see her for a couple of days, and then come back to California and to Los Angeles. And when I got on the plane, I was on the plane, had my seatbelt on, and the Lord said, get off of this plane. And I was like, devil, you a liar, the blood of Jesus. You know, and I'm trying to think how many years this was, but I had been in the Lord for at least about 8 years at that time. And he said, you know, get off the plane. And, you know, I went through my divine rebuke for bid and all of this. And he touched me in my stomach, in my gut. And I knew that that was God. And so I was like, how am I going to do this? They were just about to close the doors. And he said, do it now. And I got up. I gathered my stuff together, walked toward the door. Of course, the flight attendant wanted to know what was going on. And I said, I need to get off this plane now. And she said, do you think it's, you think we're going to crash? I said, no, no, no. I didn't say that. I don't think you're going to crash. All I know is that I need to get off this plane right now. All eyes were on me. I didn't look back to look at those eyes. I walked off that plane. And then I ended up sitting in the airport, I think, for most of the day. I wanted to talk to the Lord anyway, and I let my family know, you know, that I was there, and then they came and picked me up later on. But at that, I still don't know the fullness of that, why the Lord had me to just get off that plane. I don't know what would have happened if I had stayed on it, but I knew that I needed to be obedient and get off the plane. Okay, so I go to a jump to another place. Falling in love with Jesus. Hallelujah. Part of our sanctification process. Now, you know, there's a part where, you know, we know that Jesus is our Lord and our Savior. We know that we're born again. But this is when we actually fall in love. I'll be honest and say I wasn't expecting to fall in love with him like this. I wasn't expecting it. And so when it happened, I didn't know what it was. I didn't know what was going on. I felt like some kind of way, you know. And this was in that early time. I think it was still, you know, like I said, I got baptized with the Holy Ghost on June 9th, 1991. And so we were still in the 90s because I was still working for AT&T. And it had changed to I was working for the Lord at AT&T. So anyway, what he had me to do was to start some prayer groups, Bible studies, and eventually I started a church there. And the church's name was the Secret Place of the Most High, and we call it Spot Most High. But before that time, when I started like a prayer group, I believe it was the prayer group, the first one, and people would meet with us in a conference room at lunchtime, and we would pray. And so we would pray for the different things going on in people's lives, and then we would have lunch. And, you know, take our lunch, we're back to our desk or whatever. But something happened on this particular day when, you know, just being obedient, doing what he had said to do. I can't remember all the prayers that happened that day, but it had just been just an awesome time. And, you know, the Holy Ghost would just fall upon us there. And when I went and got my lunch and I went, you know, back to my desk, headed back to my desk, and I felt like, I don't know, like there's more, like I still want to be with you, Lord. I still want to spend time with you. You know, I felt like that. And I said, I don't know what I'm going through. And he said, remember when you first fell in love and how you always wanted to talk to that boy and how you always wanted to be around him? He said, you have fallen in love with me. And I'm about to cry now. And I was like, oh, I'm in love with you, Lord. So that it was just beautiful. You know, and if you can remember when you were a teenager and you just didn't want to get off the phone. You just sat there on the phone and listened to each other breathe, you know, that kind of stuff. And when you weren't together, you were trying to figure out how to be together. And so it was, you know, that kind of love, but just great, even exponentially greater, to fall in love with Jesus. So that was just the awesome part of this sanctification process, to fall in love with Jesus. And you know that song, falling in love with Jesus, falling in love with Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. That's Jonathan Butler, if you don't know him, and that's a good song. Falling in love with Jesus is the best thing I've ever done. Yes. Hallelujah. And so I think I could say so much, but I want to get into communication for the next moments or so. There's so much more. But communicating with the Lord, and I was saying that, you know, as I began to hear his voice, I would hear his voice. And I said a little bit about communication with obedience when I got off that plane that time, and how he touched my stomach. And I just felt like... you know, I knew he was saying something. That was like my knowledge of, okay, this is really God, because I felt him in my gut, and I knew it. And so communicating with God, and he may communicate with words. He can communicate in other ways as well. And that's, I wanted to kind of say this before we end this. Communicating with God, we learn his ways. We learn the ways of God. And when we have a intimate relationship, we learn, in the natural, we learn a person's ways when we have an intimate relationship. We learn their character and their nature and things that they are subject to do and the reasoning behind what they do and how they do. And if you remember, the Israelites knew the acts of God, but not his ways. Now, Moses knew his ways. And so I want to say, when I began to speak in tongues and I being filled, baptized in the Holy Ghost, and speaking in tongues was for me the beginning of a new facet of communication. And the tongues, our tongue is the center of our communication in the world here. And so when the Lord has access to our tongue and co-labors with the center of communication, then he branches out and begins to communicate through every conceivable part of our being. So I mean like this, like, we speak in tongues with interpretation of tongues, and he does give us interpretations. And if you haven't had an interpretation yet, please join us on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. on Get Up Radio, and God will touch you. I'm telling you, that's our Praying in Tongues Tuesday. So anyway, through what started, I'll just say with me, what started with me was he began to give interpretations through my mind and through my emotions. And then I began to have visions. I've had visions. He's even gone into the five senses, to see, to taste, to touch, to hear, and to smell. And so what he has termed those as for me is, or, well, he calls them sanctified senses. So when the Lord is able to go into our senses and be able to communicate through every part of our being, communication, there are times where, I have seen visions, open visions. There's times where I've had dreams and seen things in dreams, and he's given me the interpretation of that. There are times where a taste will come into my mouth, and I remember one time I had a taste for something. I'll just say ice cream, and I was like, oh, from this certain place, and I need to go there. I went there. I didn't get the ice cream, but there was something that was there, someone that was around there that I needed to minister to. And so he used the taste to get me there. You know, when it comes to touch, the Lord will, I can feel what's going on. And I know people like this as well. I can feel what's going on in someone. We were praying, and this has happened many, many, many times. I was praying for someone, and I felt something in the, it felt like in the lower stomach. And they had not said anything. I said, is something going on in your lower stomach? Come to find out, yes, it was. Amen. Hearing, the Lord will, he'll speak. And we hear him speaking, but also communication. Like there's times where people will be talking. I hear the words that they're saying, but there's some other words that I hear on top of what they're saying that's really their heart speaking. And so the Lord will let me hear that at times. And then smell, you know, a sense of smell where the Lord will allow you to smell something. Oh, gosh. I was in a airplane one time, and I smelled menstrual cycle. But it was not like the person, what I was smelling was actual menstrual cycle. But the interpretation later was, you know, what this person is doing is like filthy rags. And so the Lord, you know, allowed me, to pray for them. And so that's what the Lord wants to do, is to get into every part of us. The more that we yield to him, the more he has access into every part of our being. And he can communicate to us in any way that he wants to. And as a bit of God, when he prophesies through me, it's not only in word. It could be in vision, taste, touch, hearing, or smell. It could be in any of those things. And that and it takes some getting used to all of that. But he does train us. That's part of our sanctification process. He trains us about these things. And then when he, I call it him putting gifts, new gifts in us. When he puts those new gifts in, he doesn't expect us to do great things all of a sudden. But it's like, do you recognize you have the gift? Do you recognize that there's something different? Let me know that you do see it, you do recognize. Like he said to the man, tell me what you see. And the man said, well, I see trees as walking. He said, come back and let me pray for you again. You know, so he wants us to let him know, part of the sanctification process, that there's a new gift that has come in. Now, and I'm going to end with this, and I see some of you are pressure number one key already. Thank you so much. Anyone else, you can press your number one key. We're going to open the lines for you in just a few moments here, and so you can share with us. Now, one of the things is in Genesis 9:13, the Lord talks about how he has set the rainbow in the cloud. And he did that as a sign, as a covenant between us and him. And so I have a friend that the Lord communicates to her through rainbows. When she needs a confirmation from the Lord, she needs an assurance from the Lord, she'll see a rainbow in the sky. She may even see the rainbow in her house or something like that. He also has given her an assurance if she sees a Covenant Transport 18-wheeler truck, you know, she knows that she's at the right place at the right time, that God is speaking to her and giving her comfort about situations going on. Well, with me, I see Volvos. And that's how he communicates with me. It reminds me of a husband and a wife. And, you know, they can tilt their head to the side. One can tilt their head to the side, and the other one knows exactly what's going on, what they're thinking. And so, anyway, many years ago, the Lord had me to buy a Volvo. And this was something that I did with him. I knew he led me to do it. He told me, this is not your car, but go ahead and get it. And so, and the way that I got it, it's a long story, but I got the Volvo, and he used it for his glory. I took homeless people around. I did different things in it. And at a certain point, he said, now give it away. It's time to give it away. It was my only car at that time, my only form of transportation. But I knew, he told me, it wasn't my car in the beginning. He told me who to give it to. He blessed me. After it was given away, I never missed a beat. I always got where I needed to go. And then he told me that not only did I sow wheels, but I reap wings, and I would be able to fly anywhere I needed to go. He would take care of that. And so now when I see a Volvo, I smile, you know, and every time I go out and he's talking to me about something, being at the right place, being at the right time, he'll have a Volvo come by. If I really, really need some assurance from him, he'll have a fleet of Volvos to come by. If he really wants me to know that I'm exactly at the right place, exactly at the right time, he'll send the exact Volvo that he had me to buy. Not that one, but the same model, make and model. He'll send it there just at that right time. And with this intimate relationship with him, it may sound strange to some people, but this has been proven over and over many, many times. So I know that this is our communication. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I could say so much more. But I know some of you want to say some things as well. I want to give you the opportunity to do that. Before we do that, I want to make sure that we pray the prayer of salvation. So it shouldn't take us long to do that. So just hold on. Don't go anywhere, everyone. And some of you, please, if you have, if this has blessed you, if it's new to you, let me know. Amen. Press your number one key. If it's new to you, let me know. If you have some confirmation with this, let us know about that as well. We want to hear from you. Amen. Amen. So, Father, we just thank you and praise you today. Lord God, we thank you for just leading and guiding by your Spirit and having me to say just the things that needed to be said today. We know that there is much, much more that could have been said and a lot more time that could have been taken. But, Lord God, we thank you for what you did, Lord God. Hallelujah. And that ones that have been touched today by your Spirit, Lord God, seal what you've done here today. Lord, seal what you've done in this whole sanctification process that we've talked about. Lord God, seal it and cause it to grow more and more on the inside of each and every one of us, that we have such an awesome desire to be in this process and to learn and grow from you and to be transformed really into your image and your likeness. And we thank you and praise you for it now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, if you're listening and you're not sure if you are born again, you're not sure if you're saved, well, we want to pray for you. God loves you so much that he wants you to be born again right here and right now.
John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. The Lord loves us so much that he gave Jesus to us. Hallelujah. To whosoever, he didn't leave anybody out, whosoever, hallelujah, can have the Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to God. And Romans 10:9 tells us exactly how to be able to receive Jesus so that we can have eternal life. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Amen. I believe that's very clear. You shall be saved. Amen. And so when it says, if you confess with your mouth, that's saying a prayer, opening up your mouth and saying a prayer. Hallelujah. And then believing in your heart is making a choice to believe that Jesus is who he says he is, that God really loves you. And even though you don't understand everything, even though we were not there 2,000 years ago to see everything that happened, we still make a choice to believe God, knowing that he loves us, and to receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. So repeat this prayer after me with all your heart. Dear Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Be my Lord and be my Savior. Show me your ways and help me to follow you. And now I know, according to the Bible, I am saved. I am born again, and heaven is my home. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. And if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you are now a part of the family of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so we welcome you into the family. Amen. I'm your sister. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And we pray over you right now that the Lord will fill you to overflowing with his Holy Spirit and with power, power to live right, power to walk right, power, hallelujah, to even enter into this sanctification process and get to know your Savior and Lord as never before. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. And we want to invite you, first of all, invite you to a Bible-believing church. If you have one that's close to your home, please, by all means, go. And also, we want to invite you to be a part of the Get 'Em Radio family of broadcasts where you can learn and grow with us as well. We're here every Sunday from starting at 11 a.m., and all of our broadcasts are the same phone number, 516-418-5699. And so we're here. We're the East St. Louis Christian Inner Church. Pastor Mom McCoy is our senior pastor, and I'm Apostle Barbara Kizzy, the apostolic pastor. On Mondays, we have our Bible teaching time. We call it Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. And that's from that begins at 12 noon Central, 1 p.m. Eastern, where you can learn and grow in the Word of God. On Tuesdays, we have our Praying in Tongues Tuesday, and that's at 2 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Eastern. We have four people volunteer to pray in tongues for 15 minutes at a time, and then we have interpretation of tongues. No less than awesome. Hallelujah. So join us on the second Wednesday of every month. And we just had it on the 11th of May. The next one will be on the 8th of June, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. We have our healing service. We call it Prophetic Healing. Hallelujah. With the healing community. And then we have Elder Philip Harkey and his wife, Minister Linda Harkey, as our co-host. Hallelujah. And God is still in the healing business. Amen. He is healing. So mark your calendar, set your cell phone alarm, let your friends and family know. Amen. June 8th, 8 p.m. On Thursdays, we have our third edition of Get 'Em Radio. This month, we have Wise Mothers Month. And it has been so good to have our wise mothers. We didn't plan this, but God planned it. All of the mothers have seven children, well, and a lot of wisdom to share. So please join us on this Thursday. We have our very own Sister Debbie Gaither, who has seven children. And so she's going to be with us on this Thursday, 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. So that's our Get 'Em Radio family of broadcasts. Now we're going to open up our lines so you can have comments, questions, prayer requests. And we really want to hear, your thoughts and comments about the sanctification process. Amen. Now, I'm understanding that some of your number one keys are not working. So you can try it again. Press your number one key. If you have my number, and I'll know that you want to say something. And what I'm going to do is after we have three people that I know now, Minister Rachel, Minister Faye, and Pastor Price. And if there's someone else, please text me and let me know. And after them, I'll open up the lines. Amen. So, Minister Rachel, we're opening up the line for you first. Welcome.
Hi, everybody. I was thinking when you were saying about the scripture that another scripture came to my mind, like I know you said it was in Hebrews that the blood of Jesus cleanses or purges our conscience from every day of works. I was thinking of be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. God brought that to me because sometimes I'll be quick to say something at times, and then he's like helping me with that. And I was like, I do thank him for his word because I'm standing on that word. So, and be at peace. And he always say, be still and know that God, because sometimes you'd be at a point where you'd be like, I want to be heard, Lord. I just want this made right because of what I was going through. But he's saying for me to be still and know that he is God. He will be exalted among the heathen. He will be exalted in the earth. So it's, yep, it's not always easy to be still, even though you know you're right, and God knows that because he is the one that's right and righteous. But he just, I believe he wants his glory shown and mercy and his grace in this, yes, situation. So I, that's why he wants me to humble myself, where it is written in his holy word, is humble thyself in the sight of the Lord, and he will exalt you. And I don't know if I'm saying it the right translation. Lord, help me.
Yeah.
Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, he shall lift you up. It's one of those, I do thank him for his word. And I love, yes, you, and everything is just so beautiful and encouraging. And I'm like multitasking right now. Yes. So God blesses me by his spirit to multitask, make dinner, play bowling with the girls, and other stuff. So I love, amen, you all, and God bless everyone on the line. Keep y'all strong in, amen, Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Love you too. And I know that there's you are in the sanctification process, and God is doing great and awesome things. Hallelujah. I can see you writing a book about that. So many things that you've been multitasking on. Amen. So thank you so much.
Okay.
Amen. Now, we know we have Minister Faye, you're next, Pastor Price, and then we have Minister Carey. So, okay. So, anyone else, you know, let me know, text me, or are we going to open up the lines after this? Minister Faye.
Thank you. I want you to know I did not press the number one key, but I was thinking about it. And there are angels in my house. Oh, you never see that.
Hallelujah.
And it was like, you better not hold your peace. You better tell it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And it was a situation I had where my husband was sending me pornographic movies and stuff, and I was watching it, and I said, Lord, I want to be pure before you. I don't want to be doing this mess. Show me how to get through it, how to get out of it some kind of way. And so I got rid of all the tapes, and I said, Lord, I'm going to just rely on you. And he, yes, took me through day by day. And I said, well, what did I miss? Because I think sometimes when we get saved, we thinking that we have to do it. And hallelujah, we can't do it. He has to do it through us day by day.
Yes.
And that's the biggest lesson I learned through that, that he has to come in and live through us. It's not, yes, we ourselves. We can't do it. But he has to do it through us. But he didn't want me to hold my peace on that.
Amen.
So that's all I can,
amen,
say.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. That's a blessing to me, and I know it's a blessing to others as well. You know, we don't talk about it that much. And I was going to, mm-hmm, say, you know, some more about that, and I'll say a little bit right now. What the Lord told me is, you know, with the porno and stuff, he said, that's, mm-hmm, not love, that's lust. He said, that's lust. And we, as a newly married couple, this was almost 50 years ago, we kind of thought that we didn't know enough, and so we needed to look at something else to help us with whatever. Mm-hmm. And much later after that, the Lord said to me, because he said, now you're going to bed, you know, husband and wife, you're going to bed together, and when you go to bed together, then you say, okay, God, this is our business right here. You go on now. We're trying to do something over here. He said, no. He said, if you're making love, you need to invite me in on it. Mm-hmm. I am love. And if I'm not there, you are not making love.
Mm-mm.
And he proceeded to tell me about how I was bringing other things into the bed with me, other things, people, fantasies, ideas, and so was he. And so it's like that bed is crowded. Y'all got a bunch of stuff in that bed. But if you mm-hmm. invite me and take all of that stuff out, you're going to really have a good time. So now after I got with the Lord, we weren't together too much longer after that, I want to say 7 years. But I did have the opportunity to experience what it was like with the Lord in the bed with us, you know, and him mm-hmm. moving things and doing things. And I'm telling you, without going into great detail, it's a blessing to invite the Lord into your marriage bed. Hallelujah. And those who are married, if you've never done it before, you gotta do it. 'Cause it is just, you know, especially with women, women have a hard time, you know, achieving and all that goes out the window when God is invited into the marriage bed. Hallelujah. And then I'll say this as a woman who has God and God alone has been my husband for the past 20-something years. He's a keeper. Amen. And he can keep us. Hallelujah. I've seen him do it, and he's done it in a great way. Scripture in Psalm 91, he'll satisfy you with good things. Amen. Hallelujah. So, thank you so much for sharing, Minister Faye. Praise God.
You're welcome.
Amen. Pastor Price and then Minister Carey. And I don't see any more messages here. Pastor Price.
Yes. Glory to God. God bless you, Apostle. And God bless you, Pastor Mom. I love both of you all, and thank God for today.
Hold on a second, Pastor Price. I think Pastor Mom want to say something. Pastor Mom, did you want to say something?
Yeah, thank you for the beverages today. I really.
You enjoyed it?
Yeah.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Mom.
You're welcome.
Okay.
And I really go back there and commit the thought to you just.
Amen. You said it sure helped you.
Yeah.
Amen. Some of that I got from you.
Uh-huh.
Especially falling in love with Jesus. Mm-hmm. You the first person I ever saw that felt was it. I knew you was in love with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Did you want to say anything else, Pastor Mom?
No, that's all.
Okay. All right. Pastor Price.
Now, see, that's right. We're so much in one accord because in my comments, it's almost at the end of my comments because that's when you got into the point about falling in love with Jesus. When you
yes.
were talking and talking about falling in love with Jesus, I was hearing Mama in the background, and Mama was saying, yes. I said, look at God. I said, during the time when you were ministering about falling in love with Jesus is a part of the sanctification process, but we want to spend time with God to be with him, his word and his presence. And then Mama was in the background saying, yes. She was just, well, you got to that part. So if you ever get a chance to go back, when you get a chance to go back to the part and listen to her at that particular point in the service. where she was saying when you would begin to minister on falling in love. I'm so glad Mama said what she said just now, because she was, that's what she was just really in it. I just thank God for it. And I was thanking God, Mama, that I know that you fell in love with Jesus, and you were just trying to make it, make your point while she was preaching, and you said yes. So I thank God for that word. Hallelujah. So I want to thank God for the whole entire service today. I want to thank God from the beginning when you gave that pearl of ponder, the pearl to ponder about Jesus being our soulmate where we can find rest for our souls. Going back over the review of those three stages of salvation, of justification and, justification, sanctification, and glorification, I thank God for that. Thank God for you going back over those different realities, those five, the Bible-based realities, Bible-absolute realities, Spirit-led reality, walking by faith and not by sight reality, and that co-laboring with God reality. And then when you got to the part about where God began to give you your about your sanctification experiences, that testimony from 1991 about God beginning to get your heart clean and to hear and follow his voice. And then when you read about John G. Lake, my pastor back in over 40 years ago, well, I got baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost on May 16th of 1978. May 21st of 1978. My pastor introduced me to John G. Lake. He loved John G. Lake. He loved the readings and the writings of John G. Lake in so many areas, so many, many areas where faith was concerned and other aspects of the work of God. So I became introduced to John G. Lake at that time. By the Holy Spirit today, as you were ministering and reading from his books, he said, the Lord, and you're reading back again, it's just like reading the Bible. I'm not saying that his works or his writings are the Bible, but I'm saying that there are things, I'll give you the example. There's a new movie that came out called Sneakerism, and it's a black Sneakerella, and it's a black movie about a young black man who's playing the part of Cinderella on Disneyland. It's an excellent movie, and it's not raunchy. It's not anything out of the way, and the girls had seen the movie without me. I said, y'all looked at Sneakerella without me? It's about a boy with sneakers, but his sneakers left instead of a crystal, slipper, and it's a whole Cinderella movie, but it's very, very good. And so they said, well, we're going to watch it again with you, Mama. And as they watched it, they said, Mama, we didn't see this when we watched it the first time. We didn't see it when we watched it. And they were all throughout the movie, they were talking about what they did not see. And so when I thought about you today with John G. Lake and how you've gone back over the book again, you're going back into John G. Lake's books again. And the Lord said, now you were doing that 40-some years ago. You were reading John G. Lake and getting into it. He said, but you've not gone back over John G. Lake's books again. You've not gone over his readings. So my heart was spurred today to go back over. And so I thank God for you talking about unforgiveness, the words of our mouth, cleaning out our environment. I thought about one more thing about with the horoscope. Because I had my whole life, Apostle, was patterned before Christ I needed something in my life to lead and guide me what to do, how to do. And the only thing that I knew how to do and what to do was with horoscopes. The position of the stars in the sky that would determine my personality. How foolish is that? That the positions of the stars in the sky would determine my, it might have some truth in it, but would it determine it? And so, Apostle, real quick, because I'm stopping with this, but when I got with that horoscope thing, and I heard, I went to service, and they had a women's meeting, and the lady ministered that astrology was not of God. I was so angry with that lady. I'd had commission for me to put on my wall a special wood plaque post to be my sign and my husband's sign. And we paid some money for that thing to be commissioned, and we had that thing put up on our wall. And when I went to church, I came home. I was angry all the way home. I was angry. I said, what are these talking about? Astrology is not of God. It's not of God. And then I got my Bible. And I said, okay. I said, okay, if astrology is not of you, Lord God, show me in your word. And then I opened the Bible up, and it fell on Isaiah 47, that the astrologers are going to be burned with the fire. They're not going to even be able to save themselves from the fire of the flame. I went, oh, I said, Lord, I didn't even know astrology was in the Bible. But the word, he said, the astrologers were going to be burned in the fire. And so then I said, okay, I'm going to take this thing off my wall. The Lord said, no, because you know how much your husband paid for this thing. You know how much it was commissioned to do that. He said, watch and see what I'm going to do. And Joe came about 2 or 3 days later. He said, Helen, I'm taking this off the wall. And that expensive thing he took off, I didn't even have to do it. And then I began. Now, I know people will fight hard to keep their astrology, honey. They fight hard about it. But I said, Lord, I thank you for telling me that astrology is none of you. And then he said, Helen, look how foolish that is, that the positions of the stars in the sky determine your personality. Yes, they may look like there's some truth in it. He said, but it's not true. Because that does not determine your personality. So I was thanking God for that. And then I thank God for what you're talking about, like you said, cleaning out the environment. That was a part of it, obedience. And then falling in love with Jesus. That's when Mama went on and got happy about it. And I could hear her in the background saying, yes, yes. And then communicating with the Lord. So I want to thank God for the whole, and we also, because of you, we have that Volvo anointing too. We got that. Because of you, the Lord began to give us that Volvo. You know, the word Volvo means I roll or to roll. So it's a going forward. Hallelujah. It's like when he gives us that sign, it means we going forward, going on forward. We were riding somewhere, I think, yesterday, and then they'll say, Mama, look, there. And they put the Volvo anointing along with the colors. We'll see one where there may be a black Volvo. Well, we said black is the color for strength in the Lord, I'm talking about. In the unbelievers, it's darkness. But in us, it means he's the strength of our life. Our different colors, gray. The tongue of the righteous is destroyed silver. It's just so many. So I thank God for the whole entire word, even down to the communicating with the Lord. And we learn the ways of God when we imitate his relationship with God, you said. So, Apostle, I thank God for the word. Thank God for all that he did. And, Mama, I'm thanking God that God made you happy in listening to that word. I saw you when you got to falling in love, and you taught us. And I love Jonathan Butler's song. I was just doing research on him just the other day because him and the man that wrote the conductor, Henry Panyon, is one of my friends on Facebook, and he was the conductor that did the arrangement with him on there. So God bless you all. I love you. Thank God for the word that came through you today. Thank God for you, Lord Jesus. Thank God, Apostle, for allowing the Lord to use you for his glory. And I give glory to God. God bless. So Minister Carey can come on. God bless.
Amen. Amen. Going back on you. And, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for all of your comments. I always like to hear your synopsis of everything, and that's such a blessing. I wanted to say, like with the horoscope, that these days I'm pretty sure people are still doing horoscopes, but what I keep hearing is about the universe and how people are saying, you know, that the universe is doing this for them, and the universe is, and all of that. And I'm like, what are you talking about, the universe? Don't go to the universe. Go to the one that made the universe. Hallelujah. Amen. I just thought about that. Amen. Let's go on to Minister Carey. Amen. If anybody else has pressed your number one key, let me know. Send me a text. Amen. Hello, Minister Carey.
Hello, everyone. Good evening. Good morning. I do think, like everyone else, I thank the Lord for the message today. And it reminded me, it hit so many areas to encourage me to restore and reveal things that was so long ago, and gave me clarity on some things that I quite didn't understand as I was walking through some of those areas. The first thing was, I mean, you've almost hit so many different things. I'll just start off. Years ago when I came into the Lord, that song, and that was one of the songs that just really touched my spirit when the Lord drew me to him. And back then, I was reading in the book of Isaiah where it said, God is my husbandman, that he would be my maker. It said, for my maker is your husband. The Lord Almighty is his. And out of that Isaiah 54, I'm going to try to take my time and not go fast. There he gave me something in Isaiah 54:10. It said, though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord who has compassion on you. And during that time, I went through a divorce, and I so wanted to be married, but it just didn't work out, and it just kind of just shook me so. It devastated me so when we went through that divorce. And the God drew me at that time, and I was had gotten so depressed in bed that someone reached out to me and began to call me on the phone, and then I began to go to service again. And that night, that day that I went, and the Lord, he gave me such a peace and reminded me, you know, began to talk to me. And through that day, the love of God, I just knew God loved me. He just loved me. And I just loved him back. So, and I would just tell everyone so, and I would be so just going around telling, you know, when you come out of something like that, I love the Lord. I love her. And they ask you why this, why that. But you can't explain it. You just know that he really did something down deep inside of you, you know?
Yes.
So after I began to walk with him, he began to speak to me. He began to show me how to dress, how to, just so many different things in my life. He would just speak, and I could just hear him so in my spirit telling me what to do and how to do it. And I would just move. I didn't think about it. I would just move and do it. And when I did it, you know, it was just so confirming, even telling me to go places and do this, you know, and I would just do it. And I brought such a peace. Or like, for instance, he would say, like he said, get off. When someone would call me and invite me to lunch or something, and I would hang the phone up, and he would say, don't go. I would call right back and say, I can't come. Well, you know, sometimes when he tells you things, you can't tell everything he's saying, but you'd be so giddy that you begin to tell everything, and sometimes it brings an offense sometimes, you know? And so then I had to learn to be quiet. I wouldn't go. I said, well, I can't go. And they said, well, why can't, because the Holy Spirit said, don't come, you know? And I said, well, you shouldn't have said that. So then he began to teach me how to be quiet, not to talk. And so sometimes, like, when I don't talk, I'm quiet, because he was teaching me how to listen and not be so outward going, because when I was a kid, there were like five of us in the house, and I was the loudest one in the house. I would be laughing and just cheering on. And my dad would say, he said, girl, be quiet sometimes, you know. And so one day I was at work, and I was just so loud on the floor. I was just talking. And I was a nurse, and my head nurse was just saying, and she wanted me to be quiet. But I was just going on, and then the Lord spoke to me and said, be quiet. And I got real quiet. And so then I knew, okay, stop talking so much. Start listening. You know, don't get so anxious and moving on. So he began to teach me how to be quiet. And even with the thoughts, when thoughts would come in, there was a thing. You remember on the radio, it used to be a program, come on, and it was the knocking on the door. So when thoughts would come in that wasn't the way of the Lord, I would think, who's knocking at your door? And if the thoughts wasn't right, then I pull them down, shut the door, don't let the thoughts in, you know? And he just gave me different ways how to do that, you know? And even with buying things, I had bought so many things in my home. The Buddha, I had a little Buddha. I had different things, lamps I had. Because you just look at it, and you just look at it and say, oh, that's pretty, I'll buy that. And I began to buy things. But when the Lord came in and began to teach me, a lot, I threw it away. I didn't give it away. I threw it away. No matter what the cost was, I threw it away. I got rid of lamps. I got rid of Buddha and all of that. And he began to tell me the same thing. Get scripture. And I have scriptures and things on the wall that I could look at as I walk through. And old pictures, get rid of those. And so I would just do it, you know. And it was so easy because the peace of God would come in and it would settle my spirit. So I learned to follow the peace. Just the peace of God would come in and start leading and quiet me down when I would get anxious, you know, about different things, about moving different ways. And that nest, the same thing with that one convict bird and put it up on the ridge of my house right now. And like you said, just different things are on the porch over this and that. And I said, Lord, you've taken your time today, and you reminded me of so
hallelujah.
So many things, building and restoring, because sometimes things get in, and it shakes your soul. And you think, well, Lord, what is that? Oh, and then unforgiveness. You know, when I was a teenager, I got pregnant when I was 16. And I lived with my mother-in-law for 2 years while my husband was in the military. And so there he began to teach me different things there. And she had kids, and I was a kid, and you know, kids do things to each other, you know. And so when I left there, I thought I had gone because I had to go back to school and graduate during that time. And so when I left there, I was studying the word one day. And the Lord said, go back to Miss May Helen and apologize. So I went back and I said, Miss May Helen, I said, I thank you for opening your door to let me in. How you taught me, how you kept my child till I returned to school, and how the Lord took that time when I was 16 and hid me there so that he could mature me when my husband came home. How they fed me, how they did so many things. You know, children don't think about that sometimes, you know. And I was grown in one way, but I was still a child. But she did all of that. So he sent me back to thank her for all of that time. And then he reminded me, I hid you there for a time because he wanted to do something for me and in me. And so I give God thanks for that. And then other ways, you know, how he took care of me, that I would be ready, how he allowed me to save, how he opened doors even after that. So in this time, he's reminded me of all of those times that I didn't even know what was happening. And he's showing me what he did so many years ago and even now. So I just thank the Lord for this today and how he's, each one of those things, I could give something that he has spoke to my heart about. Today, and I just thank you for that. And even communicating, you know, I shared some things with you before, how you sent me places, and I really didn't know. I just went because he said go. But now how he's bringing that assurance back and that the peace of God back, you know. So I just thank the Lord.
Amen. Oh, thank you so much for sharing that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we are definitely in our sanctification process. Amen. And a lot of times we'll go through the sanctification process. And like you say, you know, you kind of giddy in the beginning. You want to tell people about it. But what I found out was that, yeah, we are in a different reality.
And not all the time will God put people together who are in these realities learning our identity, you know, and all that learning, you know, about him like that. And sometimes our reality, the faith reality, the Bible reality freaks people out. And they don't have a box to put it in. You know, people need a little box to categorize it in and put it in. And sometimes, you know, they don't have it. So this sharing today, you know, what I've shared, what you all shared today is going to be such a blessing to someone who may not be able to talk to other people and tell them, you know, what God has done, is doing in them and through them in this sanctification process. So thank you very much, Minister Carrie, and thank you all for chiming in and saying something today. Amen. Amen. Now, you know, we still have a little more time. Pastor Mom is doing pretty good. We thank God for her. Those who haven't spoken, I'm just going to open up your lines just for a few moments. If you want to say something, that's fine. If not, it's okay. Just put your phone on mute. But those who did not speak, your lines are open now. So you can say something if you'd like to.
Good morning, everyone. God bless you. I just want to say, this is Minister Elaine. I just want to say today's message was truly a blessing. And I just began to cry to hear everybody's testimony because it's so, like you said, mm-hmm. it's so good to hear what God has done and is doing in everybody's life. And like you said, it's, you know, sometimes you don't have anybody to share it with, and it's good to hear what he is doing, and it's real, and it's him. But you know, I think when you were saying about the sanctification, it just the word, you know, refining fire of who he is, just kept coming up, and that he continues to refine us, continue to take us to that place where we can receive the more of him. And as we get more refined or more, cleansed or free of our own self, he can show us the extraordinary, the miracles, the more that other people would say that's not God, that's impossible. And, you know, I was, you know, just thanking God of all the little things that he has shown me who he is. And one of the things that I don't share with people, I think I've shared with maybe two or three people, is how God began to have me trust him with my sight, without sight, I should say. And I love to drive and just commune with the Lord. And he started me out with just driving. He would say, close your eyes. And you know, at first I was like, let me close my eyes. And he said, you trust me? And you know, then we would, I almost want to say, we'd play that little game, but It was like a trust game, and I would only like blink for a little bit, and then I saw that go over to how he would do, you know, I minister and dance, how he would have me close my eyes when I would minister and dance, and he did that so I wouldn't be distracted by my environment, that I could listen to him. I remember him taking me to different places, and this one particular place, they had shown me this platform that they wanted me to minister on. And the platform they showed me the day before was nice and clear and big and everything, but the day of the ceremony, it was filled with all kind of equipment and microphones, and it was just ridiculously clear. And they said to me in a laughing tone, because it wasn't a they said to me in a laughing tone, "You still want to dance?" And I knew that was the enemy, and it was just like a little corner right on the edge of the platform. The platform was kind of high off the ground, and the Lord said, "Remember me." You know, and I was able to close my eyes and right on the edge of the platform and minister to him. And afterwards, so many people came, and they said they were so touched and they were so moved by God. But he has over and over had me just close my eyes. But the one thing I don't share with people is the time that I was going to work. I was going back and forth to work, and I think I was working two jobs, and I was going to my second job, and I was so tired. And I heard the Lord say, "Close your eyes and go to sleep." And I was like, "Oh, no, Lord." And he says, "Close your eyes." And so at this point, he's closing them for me, and I'm fighting to keep them open. And I'm like, "No, Lord, no." And anyway, you know, he closed my eyes, and I was on the highway. And just before we were going to get off the exit, I woke up. I was so refreshed, as if I had gotten 8 hours sleep, awake. And I was like, "God," I call him a bad mamma jamma. I said, "God, you are so bad. You are bad mamma jamma." I said, "Thank you." And I, who would believe that? And I said, "God, you are so real. Nobody will believe it. Nobody." But he has over and over showed me, you know, that I can't rely on my sight, only rely on him. And that's just one of the things. And I do want to touch on, you guys talked about bringing God into the bedroom. And it is so true. I experienced that situation with my husband, and we had been separated for about 10 years. And but he would always come over to the house and visit the kids. But this time, and anybody who knows me, I would always have pastors and evangelists and women of God over at my house, stay at my house.
Yeah.
So this time he came over, and he didn't know that I had women of God at my house. So there was no place for him to sleep but with me. And like I said, we had been separated for 10 years. And in the house, I mean, it was anointed, I mean, filled with God. And like I said, we hadn't been together for 10 years, and I don't even think there was any kind of passion there, but God wanted to show us something. And he took us to a place in him that I have never, ever been with. That was such love. And as the apostle said, it had nothing to do with the acts or nothing. It was all pure God. And it was like we were astonished. And I, afterwards, we never had a chance to talk about it because we were still on odd terms. But I always said to God, I said, "God, did I dream that?" So God gave me two witnesses. I had went to this church service, and it wasn't my church service. I was there. I don't know how I got there, but I was there. And this came up to give their testimony about the couples retreat they went on. And this one lady said, "I was promiscuous growing up, and I always asked God if he would bring back my virginity. And she said, when we went on this retreat, she said, I don't know what God did, but God took us to a place that we don't know where we went, but it was so loving in him. And God said, I'm bringing back your virginity. So the church didn't respond. I mean, they were like, what are you talking about? And her husband, he came up. He was standing right next to her, and he testified. He said, yes, we don't know what happened, but we went to a place that was not of this earth in love. But the church did not receive what they were saying. So the Lord told me, he said, go talk to her. So I talked to her, and I told her that I believed what she said, and I confirmed that it had happened to me too. And she just fell in my arms, just cried, because it's something when you share something that intimate with someone and they don't believe you. And the third, right. The second witness was, I was on the bus, and I would take this bus every day, and it was an employee bus, and I knew the bus driver, and I was the only one on the bus, but he stopped to pick up another person, and he must have forgot I was on there because the bus was dark, and him and the guy began to talk. And the guy that came up on the bus, he said, man, I got to tell you something. I'm going to tell you what God did. And he began to say the same thing. I said, Lord, thank you. But God is able, two witnesses, to let me know that what I experienced with my husband back then was actually real. And God can do it. He's, like Apostle said, he's also a keeper. When you don't have a husband, everything that was said today, it was so encouraging, and I just bless God for all that shared, and you know, being so candid, and bless you, Apostle, and for all that you do, and most of all, I bless God. Love y'all.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Minister Elaine. Hallelujah. This has been just awesome. Amen. Well, we have two more people still on the line who still have a little more time. So if you want to say something. Okay. All righty. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you all. Hallelujah. I know by the Spirit of God that we were all touched in some way today. And I thank God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And, you know, these kind of testimonies we don't share very often, but it's just a blessing to be on today and to be able to share it. Hallelujah. So I am going to go to Pastor Mom, who has been extremely patient today. Praise the Lord. Amen. And she's going to close us out. Now, next week, as far as I know, I'll be speaking again, and we'll go into glorification next week. Hallelujah. And then since we have five Sundays in the month of May, amen. You know, what we usually do on our fifth Sunday is to have our guest covenant faith. So we're looking forward to them on the 29th, Lord willing. Amen. So we're going to have Pastor Mom to close us out in prayer. And we're going to end today with just a little bit of Falling in Love with Jesus. Hallelujah, by Jonathan Butler. So, Pastor Mom, you want to make any comments? And then
I made a comment. So
you sure did.
Yes,
so may the Lord watch
His love was between me and thee. Well, we have from one from another.
In Jesus'
name.
Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Thank you for being here and hanging with us. And have a blessed rest of the day. And stay in that sanctification process. Amen.
Best thing I ever done.